In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good morning. It's good to see you today. Jacob, you're so much taller. I almost didn't recognize you. It's good to have all of our confirmation students back, leading the rosary before the Mass, and great job doing the readings as well. I want to greet those who are listening to us on the radio, particularly those who are homebound, as well as those who are listening to us in the facility. We continue to pray for you. This situation that's going on can't keep the Mass from continuing, nor the graces from reaching hearts that continue to see God. And so let's continue to let our Lord do what he desires. So as we're moving through this 54-day Rosary Novena, we're in the last couple days of our asking for Our Lady to guide things, to direct things. We're about to start this upcoming week, the beginning of our 27 days of giving thanks, because that's what we do. Isn't that what the first, second reading talks about? With thanksgiving, we make that request. Even before we receive the graces, we give thanks, because we know our Lord desires us to have them all. And so continue with that same movement. Two things to announce to you. One is, if there's anybody who needs sacraments, come talk to Deacon and I so that we can make sure that you receive those, particularly if you're lacking baptism. You know somebody maybe who was recently born, or born even this week, to send them in so that Deacon and I can be able to prepare them to receive that sacrament which brings us salvation, the sacrament that brings us the goal of eternal life. Deacon even told me that he's willing to do the class, not just the end of the month, but as often as necessary so that we can get those souls the graces that they need for eternal life. Come talk to us. Second thing is, as you know, this viral situation has claimed a number of people at this time, not taking their lives, but infecting them. That's caused fear. Obviously, we want you to pray for them. So first, obviously, our president and those who are in that situation were there. We don't want anybody to suffer in this way. But also, there are people, there is a priest from our diocese who everybody thought that he had COVID, but he doesn't. He was just exposed to somebody who was positive. So he's taking a seat back. It's Father Rob Yaksich up there in Las Vegas. So pray for him. He wanted me to make sure that we dispelled that misinformation that said that he had it. So he doesn't have it, but he's taking precautions in this way. As well, pray for Father Antonio Mandragon, as well as Father Pascu, who's down there in Vaughan. Both of them have taken very ill. They're not young men anymore. And so they've been removed from ability to be able to minister to their people. So their people are suffering. Pray for these priests who've given their lives to God in this way. Father Pascu is doing a little bit of recovery in Clovis with Father Ellie. So Father Sina has graciously agreed to go over and take over the work there in Vaughan. And in Anton Chico, they're only having Mass every other week. So pray for these priests. Pray for these priests that they recover. They've lived lives of exemplary service to God and to his people. See what our Lord has to say to us here within this Mass. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 through 6 says, 6 through 7 says, have no anxiety at all, but in everything, my prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and in the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Pray the rosary every day. Every single day, pray the rosary. Are you feeling overworked, overstressed in this time? Pray the rosary. Are you filled with anxiety and fear about what's going on in your own life, or maybe in our country? Hold Our Lady's hand. Are you seeking peace, but you're finding none? Is your mind going everywhere except for being at rest? Finger her beads. This is the path that's provided for us. The graces that are given for us at this time. Are you frustrated by lies or half-truths or disgraceful actions? Are you frustrated by injustice or impurity, hatred or ingratitude? Maybe it's mediocrity that's going on in your own life or in the lives of our leaders who should be living up to something better, all of which deserve condemnation and not praise at all. They're far from excellent. What is St. Paul begging us to do? Cristobal gave us that reading. He said, ponder instead, what? The 15 decades of the rosary, of Our Lady's rosary. These mysteries help us to take on the very mind of our blessed Lord Christ Jesus. Do it every day. Don't let a day go by. In place of all that negativity that's dragging you down, what will the rosary do? It will show you that peace which surpasses all human comprehension and understanding. Pray the rosary. The first week of October, 449 years ago, there was a battle that raged in the Mediterranean Sea where the future of all the West, Western Christendom, hung in the balance. The question was, would the Christians, would they put aside their petty disputes and their infighting to join against the common enemy that was seeking to destroy them all? Or would they allow the Mohammedan hordes to defile the Christian people and their churches? It took a great man, Pope St. Pius V. He was the one who had to organize the disarrayed Christian forces into a fleet off the southern coast of France in a place called Lepanto. And he armed them with the most powerful weapon in his arsenal. Most powerful weapon in his arsenal in all of the Vatican there against the Saracen hordes. And he put it in the hands of every Christian in the West, not merely those engaged in battle that day. Every man, woman, and child. He handed to them the Rosary of Our Lady to fight the battle for an entire week. Christian faithful within their homes or within churches would do all-night vigils, praying the Rosary, asking Our Lady to come to their aid so that Western culture and the Christian religion would not be wiped off the face of the earth. Our Lady took up that intercession. Our Lady joined in that prayer. God heard and answered that call, and he delivered his people in a triumph that was no less grand than that of the crushing of Pharaoh's army at the Red Sea in the time of the Exodus. It was one of the greatest naval battles of all history, and still studied even to this day. Since then, October 7th, 1517, 449 years ago. Since then, this first Sunday of October has been asked, requested by popes and by saints alike, that it would be offered as a day in honor of Our Lady of Victory, Our Lady of the Rosary. in honor of Our Lady, who gives her children victory when they hold her hand and pray her most holy rosary. You know, not long ago, I was talking with one of our elite men in the special forces. He's an incredible guy. And when we were engaging and speaking about the current issues that are going on in our time, the fears and anxieties that we have over the Muslims attacking and destroying the Christians, particularly the Holy Land, terrorism, the direction that our country is going in, the rising power of China and its influence upon the world, the destruction that can have, talk about all sorts of things. But I was surprised by his response to what I was discussing with him. He said to me, look, I confront terrorists every day of my life, just about, Father. I don't fear ISIS. I don't fear the terrorists or China's quest for global domination. At least I don't fear them as much as I fear the godless Marxists that rule our country from the shadows and have a lock on our cultural conversation. That surprised me. I'll say it again. He said, I confront terrorists nearly on a daily basis, Father, and I don't fear ISIS or the terrorists or China's quest for global domination, at least not as much as I fear the godless Marxists who rule our country from the shadows and have a lock on our cultural conversation. What do you mean by that? He meant by that there are enemies within our walls, within our borders, who are turning us against one another, and that's the real thing to be feared. Those who promulgate what that critical race theory that has been banned by our president that turns us against one another. The proponents of this cancel culture who gin up a destructive totalitarianism that it allows for no diversity. Those who are shrieking over the fear of the right of a doctor, quote unquote, to murder a preborn child through an abortion. That depersonizing of a million children, that's 70% of all conceived black children every single year. And yet even more, they're leading for the violent anarchy to process through our streets. I actually find myself longing for that simple violence of yesteryear when mobs merely pummeled the occasional child or elderly person for the crime of wearing a hat of an odious political candidate. Those were the mostly peaceful days of yore. But now we have a new lawlessness. And so what is it that we're called to do to be able to protect our families today? The weapons, as Chippy and all those who work within our military would be able to tell you during this time, are such that even an enemy who's hidden behind walls or an enemy who's down deep in the earth in a bunker can be neutralized even without a visual contact. It's the same thing for us as Christians. We face invisible enemies. What does it say in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12? It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but rather against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this present age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. That's St. Paul, 2,000 years ago, writing this. How do we fight against an invisible enemy? An enemy we can't see. Well, the greatest weapon that we have after the holy sacrifice of the Mass, which is ceaselessly offered upon this altar and altars all over the world, to protect our nation, to protect our families and our minds against the anarchy of relativism in this present darkness is what? It's Our Lady's Holy Rosary. St. Padre Pio, whose feast we just celebrated last week, said the rosary is the weapon of our age. We gotta take it up. Every nation that seeks out advanced weaponry and technology does so why? So they can preserve life, the family, the community from the assault of an enemy. So the individual, the family, the community can prosper and propagate. The rosary is one such weapon. In fact, it's more powerful than those because it doesn't seek merely to preserve the physical body that all of which will eventually fall to corruption, but rather to perfect the eternal soul. It's going to live either with God forever or apart from God forever. You don't need me to point out the violence that's going on in our streets. You probably know better than me. I've never owned a TV in my life. But do know that every political anarchy that it was always begun by a spiritual anarchy, meaning what? That it always begins with an anarchy rebellion in the heart of man first, before it wages anything on the outside. What was the first rebellion, the first anarchy? That was the fall of man when Eve was lusting after the power of God in her heart and sought to take it from him. The fall of Cain, which begat the first murder, that was originally a rebellion against the inequality of divine favor granted to his innocent brother Abel, so he tried to take it and steal it. What about the fall of Turkey to Islam, to the Muslims there, 500 years ago? That was begun by the Orthodox Church rebellion against the Pope. The love of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, it grew cool within their hearts when they went their own way, leading to great destruction. They began to love their own political party in the emperor more than they loved God and his laws. What about the anarchy of the French Revolution? In 1876, France nearly lost faith entirely there, the eldest daughter of the church. Evil men murdered priests and nuns, defiled them physically. They stomped on the Eucharist, stealing the tabernacles from the churches. They destroyed statues of Blessed Virgin Mary and the saints, and they prevented masses from being said. This was begun by a people who valued luxury over Christ and his cross, that self-denial necessary to be a real follower of Christ. Recall the sexual revolution of the 1960s here in America. It has its roots in what? That communist long march to the institutions that began by a twisting of the establishment clause in the Constitution, which began to separate faith from the public life. What are we facing now? What revolution today? It seems like a Marxist revolution. Instead of class versus class, instead of rich versus poor, is turned into a black versus white. We're told what? Because I'm angry, what do I get to do? I can destroy and wage my anger in the world. You can't criticize me because I'm owed this. I gotta speak my truth. Don't stop me from that. And if you can't handle it, then just get out of the way. This is what democracy looks like. This, two brothers and sisters, is rebellion of the heart. In the revolution of moral relativism, where my power and emotion makes it right for me because I feel so strongly. How do we break out of this hate spiral that is destroying our country and the world? Our Lord Jesus, he said what? He said, set your mind on things which are above. The rosary is the weapon to be able to do that, that keeps us thinking about these things. As Cristobal gave us in the second reading, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. And then when you do that, these things led to us to a lasting peace that can be found only in Christ, far from the anarchy of our times. It's these 15 mysteries of the rosary, walking through the life, death, and resurrection of our blessed Lord, that take us to have the very same mind that was in our blessed Lord Christ Jesus. The Blessed Virgin Mary can calm all the rage that's going on in our hearts, no matter where it's coming from or what it's directed at. Everyone in this time is worried about the election that's going on. And I tell you what, more important than your vote is the fact that you pray the 5 decades of Our Lady's Rosary every day. In fact, God can do a million times more with a single rosary than with a single vote. Even more than that. God can do more with a single recitation of the rosary than with 330 million votes. That's why here within this church, I'm not registering you to vote, but I'm registering you to pray the rosary for our election. Our Lady and our Lord are far more powerful than any force on earth. Every week I've mentioned to you the 15 promises that Our Lady has given to us for those who pray the rosary. Instead of hitting those, St. Louis de Montfort, another proponent of Our Lady, he gives us seven blessings that accrue to those who do pray her rosary. They're very short and powerful. The first one is, those who pray the rosary gradually brings us to a perfect knowledge of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the whole point of praying the rosary is what? To know Jesus better. To know him better. That's what it does. Mary focuses us always on her divine Son. The second blessing that we get praying the rosary is that it purifies our souls from sin. Not to say that we don't need confession anymore. No, it doesn't forgive mortal sin. What it does is it helps move us from those attachments to sin that still linger within our soul even after we've committed the sin and been forgiven. It leads to perfection. The third blessing is that it gives us a victory over all of our enemies, and that includes the vile enemy of the anarchy of relativism that's reigning in our time. The fourth blessing is that it makes it easy for us to grow in a life of virtue. The fifth is that it makes us on fire with love for our blessed Lord. Remember what he said as he was looking over Jerusalem. He said, oh, how I wish that the world were on fire. I wish that it were always ablaze. Those who pray the rosary set it on fire for the love of God, not in a destructive rioting. The sixth promise is that it enrages us with God's grace and the merits of Our Lady as she places us under the mantle of her protection. The seventh and final blessing that the rosary gives us is that it supplies us with everything that is needed to make our relationship between us and God right, between us and our fellow men right. And in the end, it obtains for us every grace from God. Why? Because every grace from God came to us in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, who came to us through the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so every grace is given through her. See, the saints, they tell us that so many sinners throughout the centuries should have died in their sins because they were unrepentant at their last breath. But God, on many occasions, he raised them back to life so they might die in his grace and have a final penitence. Why did this happen? It's because they prayed the rosary. If you go to the Sistine Chapel today, you can even see it in art there. In the Sistine Chapel in the Vatican, there is the Last Judgment painted by Michelangelo. Go look at it. It's marvelous. What do you see right there? You see the glories of heaven breaking off to show the present earthly state, breaking off to show the horrors of hell. All these things are going in the very center. You see our Eucharistic Lord in all of his glory. You see the angels and the saints gathered all around and Our Lady at his right hand. And then you see so many souls rising to heaven. And sadly, many souls falling into hell, being tortured and pulled down there by the demons who are showing their hatred for all of humanity, wishing them to stay forever away from God. And then over on the side, you see an angel with two men who are falling into hell, but he's seeking to rescue them. And what is the thing that he's casting to them? Is that we're a fishing line to pull them out so they may not suffer eternally the fires of hell. He's holding down to them Our Lady's rosary, pulling them up by that. That's what Our Lady offers to us at this time. To those who pray the rosary, they should have been condemned, but because they pray the rosary, there is a means of salvation for them. Again, are you feeling overworked, overstressed? Pray the rosary. Are you filled with anxiety or fear about your country or about the things that are going on in your life? Just hold Our Lady's hand. Are you seeking peace but you can't find any and your mind is everywhere except for being at rest? Finger Our Lady's beads. If you're frustrated by the lies or the half-truths or the disgraceful actions, injustice, impurity, maybe it's hatred and ingratitude or the mediocrity of your own life or of our leaders who should be showing us better things, all of which deserve strong condemnation and no praise. They're far from excellent. That's why St. Paul is beseeching us on this day to ponder instead the 15 mysteries, the decades of Our Lady's Rosary. These mysteries help us to take on the very mind of our blessed Lord Jesus. Pray the rosary daily. In place of all that negativity that's dragging your soul down, the rosary will show you the peace which surpasses all understanding when you take Our Lady's hand. Pray the rosary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.